On Friday, we have a little study group, and at the moment we're talking about prayer. Anyway, on Friday we were talking about the fact that we all face mountains in our lives. You know, there's things that loom in front of us, there's stuff that happens to us, there's difficulties that we struggle with. And this is what I believe God wants to say to us today. God wants to say to you today, to us all today, and the title of my sermon is "There Ain't No Mountain High Enough." You may have a big mountain in your life at this moment in time, but the essence of what I want to say today is that God is bigger than that mountain, whatever it is, and there ain't nothing that can stop him getting to you. We sing a great kids song, don't we? And we can recite it word for word. It goes like this: our God is a great big God. And it says, it goes on to say, he is higher than a skyscraper. He is deeper than a submarine. He is wider than the universe. And he's beyond my wildest dreams. That's actually a really, really good line, isn't it? God is beyond your wildest dreams. I don't know what your wildest dreams are about God, but he's way beyond what you can even dream or think of. We've got such a minute view of God, haven't we? And he's known me, and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful it is to be a part of his amazing plan. Our God is a great big God, and the truth is that he holds our lives in his hands. Your life is in the hands of God, the creator of the world. And it might be a kid's song, but the truths actually are straight out of the Bible. And they are foundational to our lives as Christians. God is a great big God, and he does hold our lives in his hands. And today I feel he wants to say to you, I am bigger than the mountain in your life. And the thing is with mountains, right, they can be beautiful and majestic from a distance. Or they can be scary and foreboding when you're at the foot of them. From here, you can't even see the full scale of the mountain. And you certainly can't see a way up it, or around it, or through it. And this is how it is sometimes in our lives. We come face to face with a massive mountain and we can't see a way past it. We can't see a way over it. We can't see a way through it or beyond it. And the sad truth is about these situations, and I think it's true for all of us, is that if we're not on our guard, the mountain fills our vision. And the other thing that happens to us when we're at the foot of the mountain is that it obscures the view. It's an obstacle. It's in the way. It's hiding what's the other side of it. It's blocking what I need to see. It's blocking what I want to see. I can't see your lovely faces because of this blooming big mountain in the way. And this is exactly what happens to us with the mountain in our lives. If we are not careful, they can become obstacles that obscure our view of God. And they can become bigger than God, and they can push God out of the picture, which leaves us at the mercy of the mountains. But the truth is that God is bigger than the mountain in our lives, and it's him who needs to fill our vision, not the mountain. Henry Ford once said, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. As you can see from this picture, it's actually the trees, first of all, that our eyes are drawn to. The main thing in that picture is the trees here. But the truth is, actually, these trees are very small in comparison to what lies beyond. And they become the focus, and they become bigger than what's beyond. And this is what can happen in our lives. The mountains and the stuff that's happening to us can become bigger and obscure of our vision of God. And I don't know about you, and I'm facing a difficult situation. It's on my mind day and night. I'm going over it. I'm going over what people said, what people did. And then in other situations, I can start to worry a bit about the future. I wonder how it's going to work out. I wonder what's going to happen. And I'm sure that that's just not me. I'm sure that we're all like that to some degree, and before we know it, we're feeling pretty low. And the mountain actually is all we can see. And it's a real battle in the mind. And if we're not careful, it can become the main thing we talk about. All the bad stuff that's happening, all the terrible things that are going on. And then we can just keep rehearsing it, both to other people and to God. Let's be honest, that's what happens. And we were saying on Friday that it's really important that we're honest about what's happening in our lives. And it's really important that we are real before God and with others about things, how things really are. And it's okay for us to be upset, isn't it? It's okay for us to be sad and disillusioned or struggling with stuff in our lives. It's okay. And that's all part of being human. And in our prayers, which we were talking about specifically on Friday, we must remember that it's okay to pour out our hearts to God. How many of us cry before God? I know I do. When I get upset, the first thing I do is go and cry to God and say, God, this situation is so hard. And I cry. Sometimes I wake up crying and stuff like that, you know, and I turn it into prayer. God, this is so awful and stuff like that. And I think that's really, really good. I think it's really healthy to do that sort of thing. And that's what we read about in the Psalms time and time again. People poured out their hearts to God. And I do believe in laying situations before God and telling him all about it, as we were saying the other week in church. And it's okay to be emotional about it. And David talks about God recording his tears. It's okay. And he wept before God. And so, yes, we should be doing this. But what I want to say is that we can't only always rehearse the difficulties and struggles. How many of us keep praying our doubts, our fears, our struggles? And it's okay to do that. Please hear me, it's all right. But what I want to say at the same time is we can't stay there. We have to move on from that. We've got to move up a notch from there and do this. So you've probably seen this quote many times. I absolutely love it. Don't tell God how big your mountain is, but tell your mountain how big God is. And we come across this principle in many of the Psalms. The psalmists pour out their hearts to God, but there comes a point in the middle of it where their focus shifts then to the greatness of God. And we need to do that in our lives. I'd like us to think about something pretty staggering that Jesus said in Matthew 17 and verse 20. And this is what he said. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. The question I want to ask you is, do you have the faith that can move mountains? I want to say to you, of course you do. All of you have got that faith. Even if you feel that you haven't got faith to move a mountain, I want to tell you that you do have. You have got it. What Jesus is saying is, you don't have to allow this mountain to fill your vision. You don't have to allow this mountain to loom so large in your life. You don't have to allow this mountain to fill your heart with fear. You do not have to allow this mountain to be such an obstacle. You do not need to allow this mountain to obscure your view of me. You can tell this mountain to move from here to there. And he tells us how to do it. And this is how you do it. You tell the mountain how big God is. And that's the seed of faith. And we all have faith in the room today. Faith comes from the word of God. And so we have to be speaking to our mountains the word of faith, which sounds like this. You are big, but my God is bigger. Move over. God is going to see me through the battle. God will never leave me or forsake me. God is with me all the time. God will fulfill his plans for me. This is what's going to happen according to the word of God. You are telling me it's not going to happen, but I am telling you, O mountain, that you have to move because God will fulfill his purpose for my life. Amen. God is my hope. God is my stronghold in time of trouble. You are my trouble, but actually God is bigger than you, and he is my stronghold. So you, O mountain, have got to move. God is the peace, my peace in the storm. God is my anchor. God is my comfort. God's eye is always on me. God hears me when I call. He is my ever-present help in time of need. He is my burden bearer. Listen to me, mountain. You are not going to obscure my view any longer. I will not allow you to do this. I'm telling you to move. You are not going to stop me running to God. You are not going to block my path to him. You are not going to throw me off course. You will not defeat me. You are going to serve the purpose of God in my life. You mean to harm me through this, but I will not allow you to do that because God is sovereign in my life. Amen. You, O mountain, will not stay in the center of my vision. I'm telling you to move from here to there. I am moving you. You will not be in the center of my vision anymore. That's how we move mountains. I will not allow you to have center stage in my life anymore. Interesting, Jesus said in this particular verse, he just says, move it from here to there. Because sometimes the problems in our life stay there, don't they? But what we're talking about today is moving that massive obstacle so that it does not obscure my vision of God anymore. We're going to allow God to have center stage. I am going to look at God more than I look at you. So move over. And the truth of the Bible is that God is bigger than it. God is better than it. God is greater than this mountain. There's no one greater than God. He might think he is, but he is not. It's funny, he's talking about Boris there. Boris. God is stronger than any. Do you know what? God is strong. Why don't you contemplate on that? That's one to contemplate on this week. We've been talking about contemplation in our little study. God is strong. He really is. Bigger than the mountains in our lives, the problems and difficulties that we face. He's bigger than the impossibilities and the disillusionments. He's bigger than the doubts, the fears, and the heartaches. The thing is with us, sometimes we tend to diminish God. We tend to make him small. And that's what a mountain right in front of us does. We've not got the right perspective. But the Bible says a very interesting thing. It says this, magnify. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And what the verse is saying, let's make God bigger in our eyes. Take a little look at Audrey here.
Go ahead and walk.
I don't know if you heard it, but there was a little boy in the background, and when she got in front of that magnifying glass, he was going,
Oh, she's so big.
The Bible says, let us magnify the Lord together. Let's make him bigger in our sight. And that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to limit him. He doesn't want us to make him small. He wants us to make him bigger. And he's bigger than we can ever imagine. And no matter how big we can make him in our minds and thoughts, he's still much bigger than we can ever know. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Bigger than the mountain, bigger than the issue, greater and stronger than the enemy. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. He's wiser than any counselor. He is the great I am. God never gets old. God never tires. He never diminishes. He's never going to die. God remains the same, and there is no one else like God. And of course, the amazing truth is that God is on our side. What more do you want? Move out of the way, you mountain, because God is on my side. Psalm 118 says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. What a fantastic verse. The Lord is with you. The great big God is with you. And more than that, he's inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So today, do not let the mountain, whatever it is, obscure your view of God. Do not allow the mountain to cause you to miss out experiencing the closeness of God that only comes in the darkness. Because that's why God allows mountains in our lives, you know, because we can gain from that so much from God. Don't allow the mountain to rob you of going deeper with God. Let it push you closer to him. I'd like to read a couple of verses that I feel of someone here today in 2 Corinthians 1. Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 5, and it says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. And I just want to say, your mountain might have caused you a lot of grief, because that's what mountains do sometimes. They bring grief into our lives, and grief comes in all kinds of forms. And I feel God wants to say, if that's you today, that he is the Father of compassion. And he is the God of comfort. That's his name, one of his names. The God of comfort and the Father of compassion. And I have found in my own life the comfort and consolation of God in my life to be something quite remarkable. There have been times when I felt totally inconsolable, really. Woke up crying and I couldn't stop crying. And as I've picked up the word of God and begun to read, God has amazingly consoled me. It's amazing. Move over, mountain. And no one else can do that. No matter what there was one day when I woke up, I was just inconsolable. And nobody else, no human person could have said anything that would have made me feel better that day. But God did it through his word. And that's why we need to be in the Bible all the time. He brings comfort and consolation into our lives. Isaiah 63, 66 verse 13 says, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. And so whatever the mountain in your life today, God is the one who can bring you consolation and comfort. And I want to say, don't look to your own broken system. Come to the well of salvation. It will never run dry. Psalm 94 says, when I said my foot is slipping, your love supported me, O Lord. And listen to this. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Anxiety and consolation, you wouldn't normally put in the same sentence, would you? But God does it. And I like this word anxiety. The psalmist is saying, the anxiety was great within me. So people in the Bible are just people, just like me and you. Terrible, terrible pressures. And so I think some people in the Bible went through much worse things than we will ever go through in our lives. But the point is, they had mountains, we have mountains in our lives. The anxiety was great within me, but your consolation brought joy to my soul. That's the power of God. And what I feel God wants to say to someone here today is that God has a pair of scales. And on the one side of the scales are your griefs, whatever they are. Your problems, your trials, whatever they are, weighing you down. But I want to say on the other side, according to this verse we've just read, is that God pours in his comfort into our lives. And the amazing thing is that he keeps pouring his comfort in. He keeps pouring it in. And at the end, God's comfort far outweighs the grief. When we are most cast down, then we are most lifted up by the comfort of the Holy Spirit. God is not tight. He's extravagant. And when I kind of made this, I thought, yeah, God, you keep pouring it in way beyond. He doesn't give us level. He gives us way beyond. And the verse says here, verse 5, just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives. You know, we can't live life without thinking suffering will not come to us. Suffering will come to us, and suffering will bring us down. Jesus suffered. But the next part of that verse says, the suffering, so that through Christ our comfort overflows. God is extravagant in his blessings in our lives. So today I want to say to you, whatever your grief is, open up your heart to the comfort of God. And you will find that he will pour in his comfort, and he will, on the inside, it's all right. It's all right. God comforts. As a mother comforts her child, so God comforts us. God doesn't leave us bereft of what we need. He lavishes his love on us. Someone said, when the night and the storm is coming on, the heavenly captain is closest to his crew. Another little point. Why does it overflow? Why does it overflow? The answer is so that we can give it to others. The verse says here, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort one another with the comfort we have received. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, he says, we are harassed at every turn. I've got conflicts on the outside. I've got fears on the inside. Great mountains in his life. But he said this, that God comforted us. He comforted the downcast by the coming of Titus. God sent someone to bring comfort into his life. In our troubles, we have the closest dealings with God. So let's not allow our mountains to rob us. But let's tell them to move over so that our vision can be set and focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I love the story of Gladys Aylward, and I know I've mentioned it before, but it bears repeating. Gladys, I don't know if you know, but she was a missionary to China. And when the war broke out and the region where she lived was invaded by Japanese forces, she took 100 orphan children over the mountains to safety. And a pivotal point arises at a moment when she feels the task is totally hopeless, when the mountain is so big she could see no way through, no way over, no way around. And she was just at a loss to know how was she going to get these 100 children to the place that was in her heart to take them. And so at that point she just sat down with her head in her hands, and a little girl came to her and said to her, "Why are you crying? You mustn't forget the stories you told us about how God delivered Moses in the wilderness." She used to tell them Bible stories. And trying to remain tender and truthful at the same time, the weary missionary is believed to have responded, "Yes, my dear, but I am not Moses." "That's true," said the little girl, "but God is still God." The mountain obscured Gladys's view, but for a moment. And then she pushed it out of the way. She said, "Move from here to there. Move over a bit." And God came back into her focus. And she continued on her journey and got the children to safety. God is still God. God will always be God. He will never change. He will never cease to be. And he is bigger than we can ever imagine. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on understanding." We do not understand the ways of God in our lives. We really, really don't, especially in the hard times. But the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord." And so we say to this mountain, "I don't understand this. I don't understand why you're in my life. I hate you being in my life. But I am going to trust in God. You move over because I'm trusting in God." Does he who implanted the ear not hear? And does he who formed the eye not see? Of course he sees. Of course he sees what's going on in your life. Sometimes we feel that he can't, he's not. But this is what it says. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told from you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and he spreads them out like a tent to live in. To who will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name?" That is amazing when you think of the millions and millions and millions of stars in the sky. "Because of his great power and his mighty strength, not one of them is missing." That's how powerful God is. So why do you say, why do you complain, "My way is hidden from the Lord"? Your way is not hidden from the Lord. My way is not hidden from the Lord. Why do we say, "God, you've disregarded me"? Why do you say that? Why do we say that? Why do I say that? Why do I doubt? "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the world, the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. No one else can do that, only God. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Move over. Job says, "Can't see him. I can't hear him. You know, he's at work in the north, he's at work in the south, but I can't see him. But still he's at work." And then he says, "I can't see him, but he knows the way I take." God might be invisible, but he knows what's going on in your life. And nothing passes him by. And here is my last little thought of the day. Returning to where we started, there ain't no mountain high enough, no valley low enough, no river wide enough to stop God getting to you. And one of my favourite verses is found in the Song of Solomon, and I'm ending on this. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and you probably all know it already, but it says this. Are you listening? Listen, my lover, look, here he comes. He's leaping across the mountains. He is bounding over the hills. And here is the picture of that, which I absolutely think is awesome. The mountains are as nothing to God. The mountain in your life, it might be big to you, but to God, it's just a speck on the ground. And he leaps over the mountains. He leaps over the hills to get to us. Nothing gets in the way of God reaching us. He bounds over difficulties. Nothing, absolutely nothing, it doesn't matter how high the mountain is, nothing can stop God getting to you. Nothing, absolutely nothing. He triumphs over every difficulty and hindrance. Your mountain is of no difficulty to him. They cannot stop you, him reaching you. And I just love this scenario painted for us in these few verses of God running towards us. God is running towards you today. He's running with his arms open wide. He can't wait to get to you. He's on your side. He's coming to be your rescuer. And if you read a bit further down in here, it says, let me read it to you. He's like a gazelle or a young stag. And finally he gets to his destination. And it says, he gets to the house. And it says, there he is, he's standing behind our walls, he's looking through the window, he's gazing in because he wants to get to me. Look, there he stands behind our walls, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice, and guess what he says? Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. What an amazing invitation. And then he goes on to say, listen, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. Wouldn't you love to hear that from God? The winter's past, the season of flowers has come, the season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is in your land, the fig tree forms its early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, my beautiful one, and come with me. And I think God is saying, you know, he's jumping over all these mountains to get to you. And he's saying, let's move on to new scenery, into a new season. Are you coming? Are you coming? And my question is, how are you going to respond? Do I want to move beyond this mountain? And I say, yes, I do want to move beyond this mountain. I want to move into something new, into new scenery. Are you going to run towards him? Or are you going to stay in the safety of what is comfortable? It's funny that, isn't it? You get comfortable with certain things, even if they're not good. But God is saying, I actually want to take you further than this. There are new experiences to be had with God. There are new horizons to explore. There are new seasons to enter into. And the last question is, come on, are you going to come? Amen. Got a little song I'd like us just to listen to.